Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Kritis. Today is Thursday, March 12th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast, Birth of a Bear Market. Technically speaking, anyway, it's arbitrary, but nonetheless, this is how the media communicates with everybody. A bear market is a 20% decline from a recent all-time high. Well, we have surpassed that, depending on the index, of course. But for all intents and purposes, we have just entered bear market territory. Back in the fourth quarter of 2018, we just missed it by the skin of our teeth, at least in regards with the S&P 500. But now, we are there. And at the time of this podcast, with the futures markets trading, they continue to print red ink. The Dow continues on the futures at the time of this podcast. Of course, anything could change. Very headline-driven on a lot of this, with a lot of the updates surrounding COVID-19, of course. Perhaps the oil price war, and who knows what else is going to break out, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit here tonight as well. But the Dow Jones futures are down an additional 2.5%. The S&P is right down another 2% right now as well. And the NASDAQ 100 is down a little over 3.5%. This is the futures market. For looking over in Asia, we have the Japanese market down almost 8%. 8%. Carrying forward this bloodbath that we saw on Wall Street today and in the European markets. Japanese markets are down 1,403 points right now. The FTSE 100, the UK market, gave back almost 11% today. Almost 11%. The Germans gave back over 12%. The French, over 11%. It just goes on and on and on. Here in the United States, they were terrible. The worst day since Black Monday, which was 1987. Second worst day on a percentage basis after the 1987 crash. I hope you understand what you're witnessing. This is history in the making. It perhaps could have been argued that it was history in the making for the melt-up. The historical amount of nonsense that existed and gave fuel and wind to that ridiculous melt-up. You can only defy the laws of economic gravity for so long. It's our mantra here. And that's to the upside and to the downside. It makes no difference. I'm not a perma-bear. Read my book, The Cynic's Guide to Investing. At that juncture, we told everybody, be long. Here's what you got to look at. But be diversified, of course. And if you were, you would have done very well with a diversified portfolio. I hope you're diversified now. Because I've said it here, I don't even know how many times. You might think you're really smart buying something in a melt-up when everybody thinks they're a genius. But are you going to be quick enough? Are you going to be smart enough to take some profits? Because the correction, the downturn, which is inevitable, of course we never know when, but it will happen. Are you going to be able to time it? Are you smart enough? Are you quick enough? This is unprecedented, ladies and gentlemen. We are witnessing history. And how quickly we have seen this collapse of 20-30% depending on the index. And I do believe there's more way to go. You know, going back to the UK, they just gave up with today's losses. They just gave up 8 years of stock market gains. 8 years of stock market gains. In the course of what, 3-4 weeks? That's ridiculous, but that's what just happened. That shouldn't surprise this audience. Maybe the speed in which it has should surprise us. It surprises me. But it's no surprise that it got wiped out, and the reason it got wiped out is because these markets, these economies, but particularly these stock markets, amongst others, have been in a bubble since the Great Financial Crisis. Because all of the malinvestments that existed, and there were many, and that's why we suffered the consequences during the Great Financial Crisis. But not all of them, because they didn't allow all of those malinvestments to liquidate. That's the solution. Extremely painful, yes, I know. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But look at what they did. And look at where we're headed now. How many more people have just gotten decimated? How many people said, oh, well, went down 10% a few weeks ago. Yeah, it goes down 10%. It's a healthy correction. That's what happens. We see it all the time. It'll go back up. And then it didn't. And another 5% here or there. Oh, it'll go back up. And then you get your dead cat bounce. You get your nice big, see, it's coming back. And then it went down another few percentage points. And another few percentage points. It got a little choppy to the upside again. And then you see a huge drop off like today. 8, 9, 10%, 11, 12%, depending on where you're at. Were you ready for that? Did your financial advisor tell you there's nothing wrong? Stay with it? That might be fine if you're in your 20s, if you're in your 30s, maybe even if you're in your 40s, if you have some good income and a solid job. What about if you're in your 50s, 60s, getting real close to retirement? Did they warn you? Or did they say, oh, everything's fine, just buy and hold, don't worry about a thing. Market goes up, market goes down, ba 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 ba. What's your time horizon? It makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. Because these, you have to understand what it takes when you lose, what you have to earn to get it back to even. You know, if you lose 10%, you need to gain 11% to get back to even. If you lose 20%, you need 25% to get back. You lose 75%, you need a gain of 300% to get back to even. So here we are, 25, 30%. You need a huge return just to break even. How many of you are ready to do that? How many of you think that is going to happen? Of course it could. It could. We saw the ridiculousness of what took place throughout 2019. The question is, are those gimmicks going to work? Well, right now they're not. Right now they're not. They're being attempted. Because in 2018, okay, the Federal Reserve was hiking interest rates. Now, oh, we're not going to do it. That was relief. Huge relief rally. We saw that huge V-shaped recovery. Clear as day on any chart you go look at. Oh, we're not, we didn't mean to do that. Then you had all that jawboning from the Federal Reserve. Ah, we're not going to hike rates anymore. In fact, we might even cut them. And then they did. They cut once, they cut twice, they cut again. Then they started the repo markets. Then they started expanding their balance sheet. Then they just had an emergency rate cut of 50 basis points. And they continue to expand their balance sheet, and they continue to meddle in the overnight markets, providing liquidity to these markets because they're seizing up. That's what's going on here. The pipes need lubricated. They need the liquidity to stay lubricated so the economy can function. That's what's taking place here. The pipes are drying up. This is how the system that they created, this is the Frankenstein, this is the monster that these idiots have created over the past decade. And now it's consuming everybody. And the cure is to kill it. The cure is to let it destroy itself. And it will. This is the market force. These are market forces correcting all of these imbalances, all of these terrible policies. I don't care what your politics are, Democrats, Republicans alike. Terrible policies on a fiscal side, terrible policies from a monetary standpoint as well. Hand in glove, folks. Terrible policies because we don't embrace, nor do we have free market capitalism here. Republicans might give lip service to it, but it doesn't exist here. Democrats and socialists demonize it here in the United States, but it doesn't exist here, so what are you demonizing? Those very Democrats and liberals and socialists, or socialist Democrats, whatever they want to call themselves, they're attacking a system that doesn't even exist in this country. For anybody to go out there and tell me that this is free market capitalism, you're out of your mind. What we're witnessing now is the closest thing that we've seen in a very long time, because we might be getting some type of price discovery here finally. So it's not surprising in our reality that the British markets gave back 8 years of gains. Why? Because this has been a fraud. This has been a freak show for the past decade. Doesn't mean you couldn't ride it up and make money. I suggested that in my book, to do as much. You got to follow the money. You got to know where it's going. But I'm not an idiot either. I didn't think that this was some miracle pixie dust that was just going to last for infinity and beyond. I know economics. I know there's going to be an end to every party. The music will stop. The question is, will you have a chair? Can you identify those markers that say, oh, we're running out of steam here. Diminishing marginal returns are starting to kick in. Can you identify those markers, and can you understand what they're telling you? And if you can't, that's fine. That's what this podcast is for. And that's why we've been screaming at the top of our lungs for over a year now about being careful, about being diversified, and about being vigilant, because like you can't time it. And when you have all of these policies coupled with a president of the United States who idiotically has basically linked himself and his legacy and his administration and performance thereof to the stock market, well, then you know it was just blabbermouth, a bunch of BS. The trade deal, we went through that for how many months? Almost on a daily basis. It drove me crazy. It probably drove you crazy, too. Just beyond ridiculous for somebody to think that they and they alone are responsible for the stock market, or at least to a huge degree, a large degree. And there's no arguing that Donald Trump thinks, at least when it was good times, that it was his doing. It was his policies. It was his stable genius mind. Well, now what does he have to say for himself? Well, we heard a little bit about that yesterday in his Oval Office address. Talking and somewhat blaming China. Talking about Europe and somewhat blaming Europe. That's not how you solve this problem. Today he was in the Oval Office with, I believe, the Prime Minister from Ireland, asked a question about the markets. Well, you know, they're important, but they're not the most important thing now. Human lives are. That's the first and utmost of importance. Health and human lives. Which is true, which is now is going to be his argument. And his base will probably swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Even though not too long ago, many in his base didn't think that COVID-19 was something to be taken seriously. The president didn't take this seriously. A couple weeks ago, 15 cases. They'll all recover. Nobody's going to die. We're well over 1,000 cases in over half the states in this country. Businesses are shut down. A few dozen people have passed away. This all goes to credibility once again. His performance yesterday, I said, was decent. It was not that good. It really wasn't. And I know I picked up on one of his mistakes yesterday, but, you know, seeing some other clips of it today and picking up on some other mistakes that he made, and you can't do this. You cannot do this if you are trying to show confidence, if you are trying to show leadership, if you are trying to show that you are in control and knowledgeable of a situation. You can't say you're stopping trade between the United States and Europe and then tweet after the fact, oh, I didn't mean to say that. I just meant people. Trade is still going to take place. But people aren't coming into the United States from Europe, although the UK is excluded. Mentioning about health insurance companies paying for treatments or co-payments for treatments, that's not true. They'll cover some of the payments when it comes to the tests. Not the treatment, but the tests. That was a mistake. It's a big mistake. These are big details. I mean, when you have your own homeland, the Department of Homeland Defense, Homeland Security come out and have to correct you, when you yourself come out to Twitter to correct yourself, when the lobbyist for the health insurance company has to come out immediately and say, no, that's not true, this was the situation. When you're attempting to calm the nerves of the country, of the markets, of everybody, to show that you are a man in charge, that you have this under control, that you have delegated this to the right people, etc., etc., he missed the mark by a mile. So what is this saying to us? I mean, does he want to be president? Is he saying these things on purpose because he doesn't want the job? I mean, I'm being serious. I mean, we know the guy would like to be in Florida and play golf, and that's fine. He's 70 years old. He deserves it. Go ahead. Go enjoy yourself. But if that's the case, Mr. President, just do it gracefully and resign. Because I'm seriously asking this question, does he want to be president anymore? Because this is a big crisis, this is a big issue, obviously. You have piled on top of this the price war when it comes to oil and the damage that that is going to cause globally, but in this country as well, maybe especially. And then the subsequent stock market collapse. Now again, can there be another V-shaped recovery? Perhaps. But it's less likely because the Federal Reserve is basically out of ammo. They're already at 1 to 1.25% on the federal funds rate. They're expected to cut by at least 75 basis points next week. Maybe even a full 100 basis points, a full 1%, taking us down back to zero. Just like that. Then what are they going to have after that? How many more trade deals can the Trump administration come out and jawbone and BS us with headlines? They're running out of ammo. Everybody is. And with COVID-19, you have major sections and sectors of the economy basically at a standstill. The NHL is suspended. We talked about the NBA yesterday. We talked about the NCAA. Now, that's been completely canceled. March Madness. I think Major League Soccer here in the U.S. has been canceled or suspended. Spring training for Major League Baseball has been suspended. Concerts are being suspended, postponed, canceled. People aren't allowed to get together. St. Paddy's Day parades, canceled. Think of all of the lost revenue from a lot of businesses, and a lot of them small businesses. These are one-offs. It's like Christmas. You know, retailers make a lot of their money at the end of the year. Small businesses make a lot of their money at certain points in the year around certain situations. St. Paddy's Day, March Madness, sporting events, concerts. Well, they're closed, they're shut down, so all of the restaurants aren't getting as many people. Hotels, airlines, buses. People aren't driving on the road as much because they're not traveling for these events. Demand for gasoline goes down, and we have a huge collapse in the price of gasoline, at least on the traded markets. Whether that's actually going to translate to your pump, we'll see. We know how that goes sometimes. Federal Reserve, nonetheless, attempted today to alleviate some of the markets with another statement that they are going to throw about $1.5 trillion at this market. $1.5 trillion. And the markets, they rallied from their lows of the day, 8%, 9%, up to about 5%, 4%. And then they collapsed again, closing at their lows. I mean, make sense of it. I said this from the beginning. My biggest concern from last year, when we did our Deutsche Bank's list of 30 concerns for 2019, and when we did it at the top of this year for Deutsche Bank's list of 20 concerns for 2020, I said my biggest concern is when the markets stop believing in the credibility of the president, in the credibility of central banks, meaning these policies no longer work. Because then what do you do? What can you do? We have a pandemic. Monetary stimulus isn't going to stimulate anything. Fiscal stimulus isn't going to stimulate anything. What it might do is maintain status quo if you're lucky. And status quo, folks, is not a pretty picture. So there's no major stimulus coming. And the markets aren't buying it. I mean, the communication from this administration and others around the world has just been horrendous. I mean, this week alone, we were told that there is going to be some sort of economic stimulus plan. We're going to announce it. And then the next day comes along. Nope, it's not ready yet. No details. And then poor Larry Kudlow is up there because he's a part of this COVID-19 task force. Remember, folks, he's not a scientist. He's at least not a medical scientist. He's a social scientist. He's an economist. But he's up there. And I like Larry. I know I joke with him about him here, but I do like Larry. But I feel bad for him. And you can see it on his body language. We don't have anything, but I got to take these questions. I know. And a basic question in regards to these payroll tax cuts, potentially, Well, Larry, if you do this, you're going to have a huge hole in funding for Social Security. How are you going to make up $1 trillion in spending? In funding? Oh, we can do it. Where? How? Where are we going to get another $1 trillion? On top of the $1 trillion that we're already scheduled to hit from the standpoint of a deficit this year, and it will be much larger than that. It was going to be larger than $1 trillion before all of these shenanigans broke out, and we've been talking about that here for months. Now, what do you think it's going to be, especially if there is some sort of fiscal stimulus? Even if not, just the laws of economic gravity. People get laid off. Businesses go under. People aren't working. Less tax revenue. So you don't even have to have a major collapse for there to be a major upswing in the deficit and thus the national debt. The Federal Reserve has also announced that they are now going to be going further out onto the yield curve, meaning they're going to be buying longer-dated treasuries that offer a coupon. So I guess, by their definition, this must be QE now, quantitative easing. Before, they were buying very short-term treasuries. They don't offer yields or coupons, I should say. Coupons, no. So that's not quantitative easing. But now, they're going out further on the curve. Quantitative easing, folks. It was quantitative easing before. It's monetization of the debt. Uncle Sam's broke. He's busted. He doesn't have a nickel. Doesn't have a dime. This is not the greatest economy ever. It is not solid. I wish it was, but it isn't. And it wasn't going to be. Because the foundation was weak from the get-go. I mean, how many analogies could we... I mean, it was the perfect setup for somebody like Donald J. Trump walking in to that Oval Office. I'm a real estate guy. I'm a builder. I'm here to drain the swamp. You need a solid foundation, otherwise your building's crap. We do not have a solid foundation. Let me and my administration restore this country. Let us drain the swamp and grow anew from a solid foundation. And I can do it because I'm a builder. That's what I do. That's what I know. That's what we can get done as the American people. Did that happen? Nope. All of those bogus numbers on the Obama administration. Oh, now they're Donald Trump's and he couldn't be happier. Stock market going up because of all of the money printing. And of course, yes, some of the tax cuts and some of the deregulations, of course, gave a stimulative boost to it. No questions. But all of that got wiped out. All of that's gotten wiped out. We are headed back to where we were, and in some indexes are already there. 2017, 2016, again, the UK market is even further back to 2012. So all of that stimulus, all those BS trade headlines, all that money printing, Federal Reserve balance sheet expansion, tax cuts, deregulation, tax repatriation, everything. The financial engineering, which was a complete waste of capital and is a shame for financial engineering purposes, has been completely wiped out. And it was wiped out in the course of a few weeks. You know, you got a lot of very smart people out there, some people I like to listen to, and that's a list that is very short. I like to do my own thinking. I only like to listen to a handful of people who I think know what they're talking about. And again, that's a short list. But some of these people, they say, well, you know, if the government and the Federal Reserve are going to do what they did a decade ago with TARP and quantitative easing, it ain't big enough. Remember, TARP was about $700-800 billion. Quantitative easing was coming in. It was something new, right? Oh, well, maybe these guys know what they're talking about. It's something new. It's fancy. Okay. Ben Bernanke, then chairman of the Federal Reserve, historian of the Great Depression. Maybe he's the right man at the right time. Let's give him a chance with this quantitative easing thing. Now you have some of these analysts saying, no, you couldn't even do that this time. You got to go way bigger. $6 to $6.5 trillion. If you were to do a TARP, the TARP program would have to be about $2-2.5 trillion. And then you'd have to grow the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve by another $4 trillion. Well, remember, folks, it took them a decade to get their balance sheet up to $4 trillion, $4.5 trillion, where it peaked and started to level off. And now we're right back up there again. And now, according to these analysts, and I believe it, because of diminishing marginal returns. You want to pack any type of punch? You have to give the junkie a bigger dose if that's what you want to do. It's not the solution. It's more of the problem. I mean, if you couldn't pull back from a balance sheet of $4.5 trillion, how in the world are you going to pull back a balance sheet of $8 or $9 trillion? How are you going to do it? You'll never do it. So just allow these markets to liquidate. Are they going to overshoot? Yes, they will. But guess what? That's your opportunity. If you were diversified, if you were smart about this, if you were building cash, if you were building some physical assets, gold, silver, other precious metals, so you have cash on the sidelines to take advantage of what might be an opportunity of a lifetime when the dust from all of this settles. Because humankind's going to go on. People are still going to tinker. Entrepreneurs are still going to create and innovate and run successful businesses. This ain't the end. Might feel like it. Locusts, plague, wars, financial crashes, crazy politicians running all over the place. And if it is, then so what? What difference does it make then if that's the case? Life will go on. But if you're an investor, if you're a saver and you're smart about it, you can go discount shopping. Because whatever companies survive this are going to be the ones with the solid foundation. And those are the ones you want to gobble up. Those are the ones you want to buy with both fists without hesitation. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we have not even gotten to a situation where we have seen any major corporation file for bankruptcy yet. GE is still standing. Ford is still standing. GM is still standing. Chrysler is still standing. Hilton Hotels, Wynn Resorts, the airlines are still standing. You name it, they're still up there. Big banks are still up. Wait until one of them goes. And I can assure you, at least one of them will. Because this has been accounting fraud, this has been financial engineering, taken to the nth degree. And it is a crime. But again, just like a decade ago, nobody will be held to account. Nobody's going to go to jail for any type of fraud. It's just going to be the same thing. I hope that's not the case, but it's most likely going to be. The cure is free market capitalism. In my mind, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This system of funny money, nepotism, corruption, fraud, abuse, mismanagement, living beyond your means is not the way to do it. It's just not the way to do it. Clearly it isn't, because how many people suffer from the opioid epidemic? How many people are on antidepressants in this country? You probably know a few of them. Either people who have been affected by the opioids or people who are on antidepressants. This is the greatest country in the world. If everything is so fantastic, you can buy whatever you want, everybody's wealthy and rich and fantastic, then why are so many people depressed? We've become too materialistic in this country and in this world, and we are now seeing the effects of it. Always chasing GDP. Not the family, not those types of values, not the community, not what really matters, just GDP. Can we get it to 2.5%? What about 2.9%? What about 3.1%? Wouldn't that be fantastic? We don't have families so we can have an economy. We have an economy so we can have families. That's how you sustain it. The individual, the family unit comes first. Then you build the economy on top of that. And that's exactly what I have been stating on how the administration, President Trump, should have been handling this from day one. I have been consistent on this podcast for over a year. Don't take ownership of this economy. Don't take ownership of this stock market. Come in. You're mandated to drain the swamp. Do it. What happens to the economy, what happens to the stock market, so be it. We're on a mission to clean house. We're on a mission to restore the soul and the essence of the United States of America. It's been hijacked for far too long. And you can rattle off all of your grievances right down the line. And you have a ton of agreement between Republicans and Democrats, your Tea Party and your Occupy Wall Streeters. A ton of overlap. But that's not what happened. Nope, let's buy into the bogus economic numbers. And on top of that, let's take ownership of the stock market. You know, he must truly be a huge narcissist. I mean, you would have to be to think that you're responsible for the stock market, to even want to take ownership of that. I mean, it's unbecoming of a president to begin with. But for any individual to actually think that and to talk about it to the degree in which he has and continues to do was always a concern of mine, because it's not his business. It's not American. It's not what we do here. Markets aren't controlled by an individual. It's controlled by individuals making decisions in a marketplace. We determine the price. We determine the value of things. Not the president, not the Congress, not the 1%, not the top 50%, all of us. That's how it's supposed to work. Some of my biggest concerns now are how are people going to respond to this? Because I think we got a long way down, folks. And it doesn't necessarily mean in the stock market, although it could. I just mean economically. I mean socially. The fabric of this country. We got a long way down to go. And when we hit rock bottom, what are we going to do? Are we going to pull ourselves up and restore ourselves to free market capitalism under the framework of a constitutional republic? Or are we going to throw that to the wind and we say, yep, it didn't work. See, this is why we're in such squalor. And let's adopt communism or socialism or something else. That is my concern. And if I remember, I'll take some time tomorrow to read from my book that same sentiment, because I've been concerned about this for years, because I knew this was coming. I didn't think it was going to happen this quickly to this such a degree, but when it rides up to such a degree to that quickly, well, what goes up must come down, I guess. It's basically a physics problem. So these markets are out of control. Gold and silver continue to take a hit, and they take a hit because of margin calls, because gold and silver has been profitable, so now people got to sell their winners to pay off their losers in their margin accounts because they were borrowing money to buy stocks because everybody thought they were a genius. Everything's just going to go up. Didn't happen. Buy low, sell high. These central banks, these federal governments are attempting to destroy their currencies. So have a physical asset that has served as the function of money for centuries. Gold. And I imagine silver will also be seen as a precious metal. Because right now it's sort of straddling the line between an industrial metal and a precious metal. But when everybody understands what's going on here, when everybody sees the true negative consequences of negative interest rates, which, by the way, our president continues to call for, that'll be a huge boon to gold and silver. Again, I don't have a crystal ball. I'm just telling you the economics of it. And negative interest rates are the fuel for bull markets in the precious metal space. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.